The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi there, this is Janice Peary from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Today, our first book is called Not This Bear, and it's a story about the first day of school, written by Alyssa Satin Cappuccilli. It was Bear's first day of school. Mama gave Bear an extra big hug and an extra big kiss. Bear held on to Mama tightly. "I will be waiting right here by this tree for you," said Mama. "Have fun, Bear. All bears love school." "Not this bear," said Bear. He loved his days at home with Mama. Bear looked around the classroom. He saw an easel filled with colorful paints. "Would you like to paint, Bear?" asked Mr. Brown. Bear nodded. "You can hang your jacket in the cubby and put on a smock." "Just like the other bears," said Mr. Brown. "Not this bear," said Bear. He wanted to hold on to his jacket just a little bit longer. So Mr. Brown helped Bear on with his smock, and Bear held his jacket under his arm while he painted. He painted a sun. He painted a picture of his mama, and he painted himself too. Soon it was time for a story. "You may choose a mat, Bear." "All bears like to sit on a mat and listen to a story," said Mr. Brown. "Not this bear," said Bear. "He liked to sit on a comfy lap to hear a story." But he chose a mat, and then he found a small bunny to sit on his lap. It was a very good story. Snack time was next. "Every bear likes a snack at school," said Mr. Brown. "Not this bear," said Bear. "Mama always made the best snacks of all. Still, it was fun to help pour the juice and pass out the napkins." And when Mr. Brown cut an apple in half, there was a beautiful star. Bear had never seen that before. And the star is made by the apple seeds around the core. Bear built a tall tower of blocks. He dressed up like a pirate. He stirred and he mixed in the kitchen. He even gave the baby doll a bath. "You are being very careful not to get soap in the doll's eyes, Bear," said Mr. Brown. "Good job." Bear smiled. Mama was always careful not to get soap in his eyes. Before long, it was time to go to the playground. "This way, Bear," said Mr. Brown. "All the bears love to run and swing and slide." "Not this bear," said Bear. "Not this bear either," said another bear. So they made rainbows with chalk, and they blew bubbles that popped out of their noses that looked so funny. There they are, blowing all these bubbles all over the place. And they rode shiny tricycles around and around. And some of the kids are on little scooters, and some are on roller skates. They're all having a good time out at the playground. Until Mr. Brown said, "Are you ready to go home, Bear?" "Not this bear," said Bear. "School is fun." "I'm so glad you feel that way," said Mr. Brown. "I'll see you tomorrow." Mama was waiting by the tree, just like she said she would. "I can't wait to hear about your day at school, Bear," said Mama. "This bear really missed you." Bear gave Mama an extra big hug and an extra big kiss. he showed his mama his painting. And that is the end of Bear's first day at school. And he said to his mama, "This bear missed you too. But it sure looks like Bear had a great time at school on his first day, in spite of being a little scared to get started." Our next book is Philomena's New Glasses by Brenna Maloney. Philomena, Audrey, and Nora Jane were three little guinea pigs, and they were sisters. Philomena was the oldest by 3 seconds. Audrey was the largest by a half a pound. And then there was Nora Jane. Philomena had a problem. She had terrible eyesight, but a pair of glasses made everything better. Now she could see her sisters more clearly once she had new glasses. But as soon as Philomena got glasses, Audrey got glasses too. Philomena disapproved. "Audrey, you don't need glasses," she said. "That's okay," said Audrey. "I'll just wear them on top of my head." This worried Nora Jane. She didn't need glasses either. But if her sisters were wearing glasses, then maybe she should too. Now, all three sisters had glasses, whether they needed them or not. Not long after, Philomena bought a handbag. It was a good place to keep her glasses. Audrey decided she needed a handbag too. Not to put her glasses in, though. Her glasses were always on the top of her head. She kept snacks in her handbag, and here her handbag is full of lettuce and broccoli, her favorite snacks. Philomena disapproved, but the snacks were delicious. There are the two guinea pigs sharing some snacks. "Good grief," thought Nora Jane. "Now I have to carry a handbag too? My arms are too short for this, and I'm not even a snacker." Well, now all three sisters had glasses and handbags, with or without snacks. Not long after, Philomena thought she might like to have a new dress to go with her new glasses and her new handbag. Not to be outdone, Audrey rushed out and found something to wear, too. And here is Audrey in her cute little dress. "This is absurd," thought Nora Jane, who had rushed out and bought herself a new dress. "This dress makes my armpits itch." Now all three sisters had glasses and handbags and outfits, itchy or not. Nora Jane was miserable. She went to talk to her sisters. "Audrey," she said, "I don't need glasses. My arms are too short to carry this handbag, and this dress is itchy." "Well," Audrey said, "my tutu is a little tight. But Philomena really needs her glasses, and I use my handbag for snacks. But not everyone needs the same things." So it was decided that Philomena would keep her glasses, Audrey would keep her handbag for her snacks. Everything was fine until Nora Jane got a necklace. And what do you think happened then? This story is called My Pet Wants a Pet by Elise Broach. Once there was a boy who wanted something to take care of, something of his very own. He begged, and he begged, and he begged his mother. Until, what do you know? She said yes. The boy loved his puppy. He fed him. He played with him. He cuddled him in his eyes. The puppy loved his boy. He licked him and jumped on him and fell asleep in his lap. They had the best time together, the boy and his pet. Such a good time, in fact, that the puppy decided that he, too, wanted a pet. The boy's mother thought this was a terrible idea. "The puppy is your pet," she said. "He does not need a pet." But the boy understood that the puppy wanted a pet to take care of by himself, something of his very own. So the puppy got a kitten, a furry orange kitten. Truth be told, the boy was surprised at this choice. "Dogs chase cats," he told the puppy. And the puppy did chase the kitten, but it was only a game. And afterward, he let her eat from his bowl and play with his ball, and they dozed in the sun side by side. In fact, they got along so well together and had so much fun that it wasn't long before the kitten herself wanted a pet. When the boy told his mother this, she looked at him like he was crazy. "That kitten is the pet of your pet. She certainly does not need a pet." But the boy and the puppy understood that the kitten wanted something to take care of, something of her very own. And so the kitten came home one day with a bird, a pretty red bird. Now, once again, this seemed like an odd choice. "Cats catch birds," the boy told the kitten. And the kitten did sometimes pounce on the bird, but it really was all in good fun. The kitten made sure the bird had water and places to fly and perch, and they got along so well and did so many marvelous things together that soon enough, what do you think? The bird wanted a pet. "Now, this is getting ridiculous," said the boy's mother. "That bird is the pet of your pet. She does not need a pet." But the boy knew that she did. She really did. So the bird brought home a worm, a little green worm. The boy started to explain that birds eat worms, but then he decided to leave well enough alone. And the bird took such good care of that worm and was so gentle when she carried him and so quick to protect him that before long, guess what? The worm wanted a pet. "What?" cried the boy's mother. "That worm is the pet of the pet of the pet of your pet. He does not need a pet." But the boy knew that even a worm might need something to take care of, something of his very own. And so the worm found a flea. It was a tiny brown flea, and it hopped all over the house. Why, the worm had trouble keeping up with it. But he followed the flea and looked after it, and soon they were the best of friends. Such good friends, in fact, that in no time at all, Can you imagine what happened next? That is right. The flea wanted a pet. Absolutely not, said the boy's mother. That flea is the pet of the pet of the pet of the pet of your pet. No more pets. But that didn't stop the flea, because, of course, he wanted something to take care of, something of his very own. So the flea decided that the puppy would be his pet. Oh, life was wonderful. The boy and the puppy and the kitten and the bird and the worm and the flea were as happy as could be, because they all had pets. But there was someone, a special and important someone, who wasn't happy. In fact, she was not happy at all. Now, the boy and the puppy and the kitten and the bird and the worm and the flea were a little bit worried. None of them wanted to give up their pets. What were they going to do? The boy thought about this for a long time. He thought, and he thought, and he thought. And then he had an idea. His mother needed something to take care of, something of her very own. So he got a great big cardboard box and wrote on it "to" and put in the address of his house, and it said "to Mom." And then he got inside of the house. Excuse me, he got inside of the big cardboard box and closed the lid. And then his mom came into the living room, and she saw that big cardboard box. And she opened it, and who do you think jumped out? It was her son. And she picked him up, and she held him tightly in his arms and gave him a great big hug. And this was her very own person to look after. Because whenever you take care of something, that something takes care of you. Our next book is One More Egg by Sarah Emanuel Berg. One sunny spring day, Bunny came hopping up to a young chicken. "Please, dear chicken, I need just one more egg. Will you lay it for me?" "Me?" said the chicken. "I can't lay eggs. I'm still too young. But if you really need that egg, Bunny, we could ask." The horse. "Hello, horse," said the chicken. "Would you please lay an egg for us?" "Me? I don't lay eggs. I pull the cart and carry the crops to market," whinnied the horse. "Come on, Bunny," said the chicken. "We'll ask the pig." "Dear pig, would you please lay an egg for us?" "Me? I don't lay eggs. My job is to take care of my little piglets," grunted the pig. "Don't worry, Bunny," said the chicken. "We'll ask the sheep." "Dear sheep," said the chicken, giving her a big hug, "would you please lay an egg for us?" "Me? I don't lay eggs. All I can give is my soft, warm wool," bleated the sheep. "Well then, Bunny," said the chicken, "we'll ask the cow." "Good day, dear cow," said the chicken. "Would you please lay an egg for us?" Me? I don't lay eggs. I make milk for the farmer, mooed the cow. Oh, well, Bunny, said the chicken, let's ask the mole. Hello, mole, said the chicken. Could you please lay an egg for us? Me? I don't lay eggs. I dig long tunnels underground, chirped the mole. But why don't you ask him? The wolf. Come on, cried the bunny, terrified, and they ran away. They did not stop to ask the wolf if he could lay them an egg. And they ran as fast as they could to the hens. Dear hens, begged the chicken, Bunny needs just one more egg. Could one of you please lay it? We, cackled the hens, we already gave him our eggs. You're old enough to lay one yourself. All you have to do is press really hard. So the chicken pressed really hard. She pressed and pressed and pressed, and out popped an egg. Look, Bunny, the chicken called proudly, I have an egg for you. I laid it myself, my very first egg. But tell me, what did you need it for anyway? That, dear chicken, said the bunny with a mischievous wink. Now that is my secret. And what do you think the bunny's secret was? What do you think he was needing eggs for? Do you think it could have been for Easter egg hunts? This book is William's Winter Nap by Linda Ashman. In a house on a hill that's tall and steep, there's a boy named William who's ready to sleep. He drinks his cocoa and climbs into bed. He fluffs the pillow beneath his head, then burrows down for a nice long nap, but wakes to the sound of a tap, tap, tap. Excuse me, but I've lost my way. I'm cold and tired. May I please stay? Will says, yes, I'll scooch a bit. There is room for two. I'm sure we'll fit. And it's a squirrel who comes in and climbs into bed with William. The two climb in and curl up tight. They yawn and say, good night, good night. It's quiet, just the clock's tick-tock. But wait, what's that? A knock, knock, knock. Oh, what a lovely, cozy place. Could you spare me a smidge of place? And in comes the porcupine. Will says, yes, we'll scooch a bit. There's room for three. I'm sure we'll fit. The three climb in and curl up tight. They yawn and say, good night, good night. It's peaceful in the sleepy room until, that is, the boom, boom, boom. My toes are numb, my tail is too. Okay, if I come in with you? Will says, yes, we'll scooch a bit. There's room for four, I'm sure we'll fit. The four climb in and curl up tight. They yawn and say, good night, good night. And that was a badger. Ping, ping, ping. Could that be rain? No, it's pebbles on the window pane. May I come in? I need some rest. I promise I'm a perfect guest. It's a raccoon. Will says, yes, we'll scooch a bit. There's room for five. I'm sure we'll fit. And there it shows the raccoon, the porcupine, the badger, and the squirrel on one end of the bed, and William is on the other end of his bed. The five climb in and curl up tight. They yawn and say, Good night. Good night. The sound of snoring, soft and low, then crunch. Some footsteps in the snow. A note is slipped beneath the door. Do you have room for just one more? I'd rather not. Too squished. No space. There's got to be some other place. We don't have room. Too hard to fit. No way. We can't consider it. And that was all the animals talking. Will says, if it's someone small, it might not be so hard at all. He tugs the door to see who's there. Uh-oh. Oh, my. What now? Bear. And it's a big bear. I saw your light on through the trees. I'm so lonely. May I join you, please? Bear shivers in the falling snow. I see. No room. That's fine. I'll go. It's awfully cold, said Will. The snow, the ice. He'd keep us warm. He seemed quite nice. They all say, wait, we'll scooch a bit. There's room for six. Somehow, we'll fit. The six climb in and curl up tight. They yawn and say, good night. Good night. Sweet dreams, my friend, says Will. Sleep tight. I'll see you in the warm spring light. And there are all the animals just packed into this bed, ready to sleep until spring comes. To finish off our program today, we have time for a few nursery rhymes, which are poems that have been around for many, many years and that children have learned for a long, long time. The first one is, once I saw a little bird come hop, 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 so I cried, little bird, will you stop, stop, stop? I was going to the window to say, how do you do? But he shook his little tail, and far away he flew. And here's another. There was a little girl, and she had a little curl right in the middle of her forehead. And when she was good, she was very, very good. But when she was bad, she was horrid. And rain on the green grass, rain on the tree, rain on the housetop, but not for me. And it shows a little girl in her rain boots and raincoat and rain hat and an umbrella. If bees stay at home, rain will come soon. If they fly away, fine will be the day. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long, until next time.